The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. None of you can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. And are there children that would like to come up for the children's sermon? Well, good morning. It's good to see both of you here. I hear there's flu going around, which means the two of you are healthy. So it's good to see you both here and healthy. Today I was thinking about a passage from the book of Deuteronomy. Can you say Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy? Pretty close. It's one of those tough names of books in the Bible, and it talks about a farmer bringing his gifts to God. Back then, it was written many, 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 many years ago, everyone was a farmer. So that's what you did. Everyone was a farmer, and instead of giving an offering to the church, what you would do is you would bring a basket of food to the church. You know, that was a long, long time ago. So one of the neat things it says about in that passage is that before the farmer gave his food to the church, he was supposed to remind himself about all the blessings that he had in his life. He was supposed to remind himself of the country that he lived in and the blessings of family and the blessings of God's presence. And he was supposed to remind himself of all those things. And then he was supposed to give his basket of fruits and vegetables up to the church. And I think that's a wonderful passage because it reminds us why we do things that we do as the people of God. That, you know, the reason why adults give offerings is to say thank you for God's blessings in our lives. The reason why the youth were going to rake leaves, but weather's not good, was to say thank you for making us whole and healthy and strong and giving us lots of strength. And, you know, everything that we do as Christians doesn't start out with what we have to do, but it always starts out with us thinking about the wonderful things that God has given us, and everything that we say back to God is always just a thank you. So, you know, when you think about the things that you do for God, you know, remember that the things you always do for God is not because God tells you you have to do it, but it's kind of like that farmer who brought his gifts of fruits and vegetables, and before he gave the fruits and vegetables to the church, he reminded himself of all those things that God has given him. Let's have a word of prayer. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for all your many, many blessings, blessings that we don't always even see and notice. Help us to live lives of saying thank you to you for all those blessings you first gave us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you. You can go back to your seats. That video up there talks about two masters, one being possibly being money or wealth. Just like last year, last week, I see it as stuff. Grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Heather is a young lady that I've known for many years. Now, I must tell you that Heather is a person who walks by the beat of a different drummer. She has chosen to live by her values rather than the values of stuff in her lives. I know. While she was at college, she would get up early on Sunday mornings and she would go to church. While many of her friends were sleeping it off or choosing to sleep in, she would get up early in the morning and go to church, and not just to be at church, but a leader at her church. Later on, when she graduated, she got a really nice job. But she decided, after she got her really nice job, that her first car would be a very small, non-ostentatious car. You know, her reasoning was that smaller cars, better gas mileage, was better for the environment. And eventually, when that car wore out, it would take up less room in the landfills. So she bought one of these, even though she could afford something much nicer, she bought one of these little cars that would run forever and would use less gas and keep it out of the landfill. Because her reasoning was, God wants her to take care of the earth, and this is one way that she could do it. Again, when she got married, her reception was really kind of simple. Now, the wedding service itself was very elaborate. She decided she wanted to spend her money on what was important to her and her values. It was the commitment she was making to her husband rather than the party that followed. Her values, her faith, even makes a difference on the food that she eats. She's a vegetarian, because she says it's so inefficient food-wise to be feeding a cow grain. You could feed an awful lot of people for the grain that comes to make just a pound of steak. So she chooses to not eat meat. You know, I've always been proud of Heather because she makes her decisions based upon her faith rather than the stuff that's around her. And I must say that her specific decisions are not right for everyone. I could never, ever, 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 ever be a vegetarian. But Jesus says that we can serve one of two masters, him or what I call stuff in our lives. And I know Heather, and I'm very proud of her, that she's very consciously made decisions to follow her master. Last week, we were challenged to consider where we were investing our hearts. If we look to how we spend our time and our energy and money, you know, one of the things I said was, that's part where your hearts are invested. You know, one of the ways to do that investment check is to look at how we spend our time. And in doing so, I think a lot of us would find that our hearts are kind of divided. For a lot of us, we've said yes to too many commitments, signed too many contracts, swiped too many credit cards, and now we have to pay off a bunch of stuff that don't really make us happy. And I think for a whole lot of us, stuff has a way of competing for our hearts. Jesus says in Matthew 6 that no one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to the one or despise the other. You cannot serve God. And I'll say it, stuff. A person trying to do so will inevitably hate one master and love the other. You know, as we look at our lives, I think too often we have even more than two masters tugging at our hearts. When Jesus was defending himself from critics, they accused him of having to be the prince of demons, because they noted that Jesus then noted that he spent much of his ministry casting out demons. And then to defend himself, he says, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. It kind of works with the masters we choose in our lives. We really can't divide up which master we're going to follow. There's going to be one. When we're serving 2, 3, or 10 masters and dividing our hearts among them, we're not living as God intends us. I think this can explain why we get resentments in our lives and the things that pull us away from things that are really important in our lives. We end up hating or resenting our job or our boss because they've become an unintended master in our lives. This doesn't mean you can't enjoy money or you can't have stuff. You know, we need stuff in our lives. I think this year, I'm going to have to replace my car this winter with a car that has four-wheel drive. Last year, I was very lucky. There were no Sundays where we had a heavy snow on a Sunday morning. I took a big chance last year. This year, I need to buy some stuff. I need to get a car to make sure I can get here on a Sunday morning. We do need stuff in our lives. And God wants us to enjoy our lives. And to enjoy our lives, we do need stuff. But we can't make that stuff our master of our life. We can't even choose dual masters. We can't live under the lordship of God and the lordship of stuff. We've just kind of got to choose. One of my favorite passages in the Old Testament is Joshua 24. In Joshua 24, the people of Israel have just conquered the land of Canaan. Their centuries of being slaves in Egypt was now over. Their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness was now over. Their months of warfare to claim the land that God had promised them was over. And the land they're going to come into is a really rich land. The Bible says that it's overflowing with milk and honey. And the people are about to be blessed in ways that they couldn't even dream of as they started their new life in that new land. So Joshua calls all the people together at Shechem, and he challenges the people. And here's the words that he uses in Joshua 24. This is what he says. Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you shall serve. The gods of your ancestors that you served beyond the river, or the god of Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. He could say this: serve the God who has so blessed you in your life. Serve the God who has given you the gift of new life. Turn your back on that god of stuff that seems to rule other people's lives. Choose this day who will be the god of our lives, the god of stuff or the god who has really blessed you. As for me and my family, we will follow the Lord. I've always loved these passages. And in fact, when you walk into our house and you go into the living room, you will see a plaque on our door to the kitchen, and it says, "As for me and my family, we will follow the Lord." I treasure those words and that plaque. Amen.